It is said of this tiny animal that it commits mass suicide by rushing into the sea in droves. The story is one of the persistent tales of the Arctic, and, as often happens in man's nature lore, it is a story both true and false, as we shall see in a moment. Winston Hibbler in White Wilderness. My name is Becca Ryswig, and you're listening to So That's What Happened, a podcast where I share some of my favorite stories. History is full of engaging and fascinating topics, whether we go back to the dawn of time or only a few years ago. So settle in as we explore one of my favorites. One of my favorite film genres is the documentary. I love learning about the world through film, and even more so if it has a stirring narration or an engaging presenter. Whether it's a biopic, war story, scientific exploration, or nature documentary, odds are I'll be into it. And odds are probably good that you, dear listener, like documentaries as well, considering the fact that you're here listening to me talk about history. Unfortunately, we do have to be careful about how much stock we put into documentaries. Documentary filmmakers are often passionate about their topic, but are rarely experts. As such, mistakes and miscommunication will be made. There are also the fortunately rare occurrences when misinformation is purposely given to the viewer. So, how do you know when something in a documentary has been completely faked or staged beyond acceptable limits, especially when the source is someone you thought you could trust? One movie that duped its audiences was Disney's 1958 adventure documentary, White Wilderness, from which the myth of lemmings committing yearly mass suicide was spread. Today I'm going to take a look at lemmings, what goes into documentary filmmaking, and the aforementioned film. Let's start by looking at the victims of the staged scene from White Wilderness. The lemming. So, what is a lemming, you may ask? Well, they are small rodents, same family as mice and hamsters, but they live in the Arctic. A lemming will reach about 6 inches in length and weigh around an ounce. They have soft brown or black fur, and frankly, they are just the most adorable little herbivores you will ever see. Unfortunately, pretty much anywhere you look for information about them will mention the myth that the little critters commit mass suicide every few years. Fortunately, most articles now include the information that it is a myth, and a patently false one at that. Interestingly, the noted behavior is not one that was created by White Wilderness, but was instead made widespread by the film. Lemmings are reportedly simple creatures who have been known to die by stupidity when their migratory paths take them through dangerous terrain. Although there is some contention on whether it is their migratory paths that are doing this, or simply overpopulation pushing them into areas that they haven't been before. There are a few other entertaining myths surrounding lemmings, including the mythical submerged continent of Lemuria, and that lemmings explode. Both stories do have a basis in observable phenomena, though the facts drawn from both are misconstrued at best. If you have the time and inclination, I recommend looking into these stories on your own, as well as other old myths about animals, particularly anything to do with Lemuria. It's a very weird, very interesting topic. Now it's time to move into documentary filmmaking. In all honesty, the history of the documentary is the history of filmmaking itself. The first films were documentaries. A few of the Lumiere brothers' first films were of a train arriving at a station and of factory workers heading home. A quick aside, if you don't know who the Lumiere brothers are, they are the official inventors of the first motion picture camera. However, from the beginning, there has always been some staging in documentaries. This in and of itself does not invalidate the documentary. For example, the factory workers in the aforementioned film were told when and where to walk to ensure that the desired result was captured. I'm going to stop for a second and pull back the curtain for anyone who hasn't already taken a peek. Off-the-cuff conversations and pivotal moments in documentaries are often staged. There is a huge difference between staging a scene and faking it. If you watch a reality TV show where the host meets someone for the first time by knocking on their door and then immediately starts talking to them, this is likely staged. That means that they have already met, the person has already given consent to be on the show, and may even already be mic'd. They will then pretend to meet or reenact their meeting. While the show is not being 100% honest with you, it is acceptable because it is still being true to life. Similarly, conversations and events may be reenacted or repeated to get better angles or audio. This is distinctly different from blatantly faking a conversation or event. If you're an avid fan of reality TV, you may want to ignore this next bit. A great deal of reality TV is actually scripted. This means the interactions are not true to life or spontaneous. Think WWE. Producers and writers watch what the audience like and then engineer the show to cater to those audience members to boost the ratings. Reality TV is its own nebulous genre where the audience is often left wondering how much of it is actually true. But we accept that to a degree in those shows. For better or for worse, that's just the way it is. It's when the scripting of events comes into documentaries that claim to be factual that the viewers should really take issue. And yes, most documentaries do in fact have scripts as well. In fact, nearly all docs with any form of narration or a host will be almost entirely scripted. This is where the idea of faking a story or event comes to the forefront. So long as the script is confined to the truth, everything's fine. Should the script dictate blatant lies about the topic or call for staging to go beyond the truth of what happened, then we get into dangerous territory. Nature documentaries can become a tricky subject very quickly. The specific film I'm talking about today is, as I said, Disney's 1958 White Wilderness. I imagine many of you never saw or don't remember this movie, and that's okay. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of everything you need to know. Starting with, no, it is not available on Disney Plus at the time of me recording this. The movie was shot in Canada, and my favorite review of it comes from Harrison's Reports, an old trade journal from New York. From the opening to the closing scenes, one is held enthralled by the truly remarkable shots of polar region wildlife, both large and small, made all the more interesting by the fine technicolor photography, the clever editing, and the appropriate background music, which heighten both the comic and dramatic aspects of different scenes. The film was well received when it premiered, and even won the Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature. It was directed and written by James Algar, whose filmography contains many more documentaries for Disney, as well as, interestingly enough, directorial credit for Disney's 1940 classic, Fantasia. So, if you were to watch the documentary, what would you see in this now infamous scene? Well, you'd see what appeared to be a large group of lemmings rushing off a cliff into the water, over which the following narration is heard. A kind of compulsion seizes each tiny rodent, and, carried along by an unreasoning hysteria, each falls into step for a march that will take them to a strange destiny. That destiny is to jump into the ocean. They become victims of an obsession, a one-track thought. Move on, move on! This is the last chance to turn back, yet over they go, casting themselves out bodily into space. And so is acted out the legend of mass suicide. So did James R. Simon, the principal photographer for the sequence, manage to capture an extremely rare natural phenomena? Not exactly. You see, the entirety of White Wilderness was filmed in Alberta, Canada, which is landlocked, so there was no ocean. Lemmings are not native to this region either. About a dozen lemmings were brought in from elsewhere and were carefully filmed jumping into a river to simulate this reported behavior and numbers. As I stated earlier, staging in documentaries is normal, particularly in nature documentaries where animals don't cooperate. It was even more commonplace in this time period. The problem arises when the staged behaviors are not real behaviors at all. For the most part, humans are visual learners. If we see something, we're more likely to believe it and remember it. For this reason, documentaries carry a heavy responsibility. This supposed behavior has become such an ingrained belief in pop culture that the Alaska Department of Fish and Game released an article called "Lemming Suicide: Myth Disney Film Faked Bogus Behavior" by Riley Woodford to address it in September of 2003, 50 years later. The gist of the article is lemmings do not commit mass suicide. Sometimes, when overpopulation is a problem, they may be forced into areas they're unfamiliar with and have even been observed accidentally shoving each other into the water. But nothing about this behavior implies that the lemmings have some biological urge to kill themselves. The truth of the story was brought to light in the CBS documentary Cruel Camera about animal abuse in Hollywood. Unfortunately, the tale of the lemmings is not an isolated one. There are many other accounts of animal behavior being staged for early documentaries in areas where the animals should not be or doing things that they would not do by nature. This act of taking staging too far to get views is something we can still see today, from documentaries with questionable ethics and veracity to internet clickbait videos. The important thing to remember as an audience member is to do your own research. If something doesn't ring true, look it up. With the entirety of human knowledge available at our fingertips via the internet, the truth is always only a click away. So, that's what happened. A very big, very prominent film company staged something that doesn't happen in the wild. I guess it goes to show you that just because something's in a documentary doesn't always mean it's true. I found the Alaska Department of Fish and Game article Lemming Suicide Myth, Disney Film Faked Bogus Behavior by Riley Woodford very helpful, as well as National Geographic's article Are Lemmings Really Suicidal? The Truth Behind Animal Myths by Liz Langley. The White Wilderness documentary can be found in its entirety on YouTube, as well as the Cruel Camera documentary. If you liked this episode, please consider rating and reviewing it, as well as subscribing. And if you'd like to directly help me, you can head over to patreon.com/sothatswhathappened, or click the link in the show notes. If you have any topics you'd like to hear me cover, or questions or comments about this or past stories, send an email to sothatswhathappenedpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as stwhpodcast. From the start, the documentary cinema was infused with French aestheticism and French psychology. The documentary was defined not as a naive and spontaneous capture of pre-existing reality, but rather as a creation, a work of art. Richard Brody.